And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see," and I saw, and behold, bad movie futures. Hello, bad movie lovers, and welcome to a special preview of Bad Movie Futures, the new members-only series here at Bad Movies We Love. What you're about to hear are the first 15 minutes of the episode on Ethan Coen's Driveaway Dolls from 2024. If you like what you hear and you want to become an official card-carrying member of the Resistance, stay tuned at the end of the preview for details on how to do that. I hope you enjoy the preview. Alexa, thank you so much for joining me for this discussion for Bad Movie Futures.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm actually really excited to get into this. I think Driveaway Dolls is such an interesting movie to have this conversation about because it has all the makings of either a camp classic or a, you know, just a classic cult film for people or an outright, you know, disaster.
Yeah, and I think it's walking that line right now because I ran the numbers just to be sure. You know, I had put up that list on Twitter of like, here's all the movies that technically qualify. But, you know, when I ran the numbers, that was a few months ago. So I wasn't sure whether or not it was still sort of in that same range. But the number has not moved. It has a 5.4 IMDb, a 56 Metascore, 63 critic score, though, from Rotten Tomatoes. 36 audience score, and then it has a 2.5 or 2.6 on, well, maybe it's a 2.8 and I just typed it wrong, but it has a 53 out of 100 overall.
Yeah, it's a 2.8 on Letterboxd. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, so yeah, 56 was right. I wrote down two numbers and I wasn't sure which one was correct.
You know, I'll, you know, go ahead and say I find that disappointing because I liked Driveaway Dolls. I really like this movie. I think it's really fun and entertaining. And I, to an extent, think it has found a bit of its audience. But, you know, I understand the reasons why people would be, you know, put off by this movie at the same time.
Did you see it in theaters?
I did.
Okay.
Because the concept of a lesbian, you know, road crime comedy, in general, like, especially directed by Ethan Coen, and I'm, you know, we probably will get into this, but going into this movie, there was just like a lot of chatter amongst film fans about the fact that Ethan Coen initially seemed as if he was no longer making movies. Like it seemed like he was, you know, retired, basically. So the idea that he was like coming out of this quote unquote retirement to make another film, also the situation with him and his wife, Trisha Cook, who, you know, may or may not is or was a lesbian and all of that. So I was intrigued by it, but.
Yeah, I mean, because it wasn't like Ballad of Buster Scruggs was the last like narrative feature. But then he directed a documentary on Jerry Lee Lewis in 2022. But to sort of step outside the comfort zone of like the Coen Brothers brand, right? Like when you make a film that's the Coen Brothers, you sort of already have like a fan base. You sort of have like an understanding for the tone of the film and you'll get people to probably watch it that otherwise wouldn't. But I agree with you that there was a lot of sort of interest in this movie among film circles around the time that it came out. And I had seen the trailer and was interested in it. Didn't really know too much about it, but I was like, I like the cast. You know, we get a lot of like really A-list talent that is not featured in the film that much. However, I was like, I will watch whatever Colman Domingo wants to do. And I just want to see him succeed. So I'm going to go see everything that he does as much as possible. So I was like, all right, I'm in it for that. at the time, like, I wasn't super familiar with Margaret Qualley. I don't remember if Sanctuary had come out before. I think it was the year before. Like, I was just starting to learn who she was. And Geraldine Viswanathan I'd seen in maybe like one or two other films. So I was like, okay, like, I like the general concept of this movie. And then I saw it and I liked it, but I wasn't like in love with the movie. And then I had talked to a friend of mine, Scott, and he really loved it. And he is of the mind that this movie is going to be like appreciated as a masterpiece many years down the line and will regret not loving it when it came out. And I had to like break the news to him. I was like, Scott, like, people don't like this movie. Like, you're like one of the only people. So but a movie that's like sort of in the mid 50 range on this show is typically a movie that people either love or hate. And so it just kind of splits the difference and lands in the middle. And I enjoyed the movie, but had like just a couple of sticking points that were hard for me to get over that when I watched it a second time kind of went away. And so I just enjoyed it a lot more watching it the second time. And I was like, you know what? This movie actually is really funny. I feel like the dialogue is well written. The characters are funny, but it's also not punchline driven humor. So the way that it is funny in terms of like how it's timed is not designed to sort of like wait for the audience to get the joke. It's like it's stacked with a lot of humor. And if you laugh at it, you laugh at it. And if you don't, then like the movie is still going and it's difficult to go back and be like, oh, I remember that this was funny after the fact. So watching it this time, I was like, OK, all those other things that bothered me the first time are kind of out of the way. Margaret Qualley, the accent, I think, is a sticking point for more than just me, as I've read about it. We're like, this is too much. However, the first time I watched it, I was like, the accent is a issue, but also I feel like she's playing Nicolas Cage playing this role. And I was like, so I'm kind of OK with it because that's like the scope that I'm looking at it through.
I kind of like agree with that idea of like Nicolas Cage, because I feel like this movie in general is so much about going for it and going for broke.
Yeah.
And I really like the juxtaposition between Margaret Qualley really going for it with the Southern accent and the kind of character she's playing versus the straight man that Geraldine Viswanathan has played, which I think is interesting for her, because I think like in some of the other things I've seen her in, she's usually playing the more broad character. So I really enjoyed their chemistry. And I honestly really liked this movie also just as a, you know, friends to lovers sort of rom-com, which it also kind of is as well. I just like really think this movie is fun. I kind of agree with your friend that I think if nothing else, like amongst like queer people, this movie will have like an audience, if nothing else. Like, I think this movie will be put in that canon with other movies like Debs and stuff like that, as like, especially I think for more Gen Z and like Gen Alpha, like for younger people, this will be like important coming of age film material for a lot of young queer kids. Similarly, funny enough, to something like Bound, made by the Wachowskis, who, like, you know, throughout their career have always had these comparisons with the Coens. So I really do think that, like, because I think in general that a lot of the movies that you probably cover on this podcast are movies that kind of veer into camp. And camp is, in general, the kind of thing that, like, if you're not really here for it, you're never going to enjoy movies like this. Like, it's, you're, if you're not willing to go along for the ride and the wildness that it's giving you, you're definitely not going to be here for it. That's why it's like, I personally like the Southern accent. As a Southerner, I wouldn't say it's like super, super accurate, but yeah. I think that if you're doing a Southern accent, you kind of have to be broad with it, kind of like. You can't be afraid to sound like Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, I saw somebody say that she sounded like Sandy the Squirrel. And I was like, okay, I get it. But yeah, again, like through the lens that I'm viewing it.
Canonically queer, like many would say.
Fair point. And I think, you know, it being like a lesbian road comedy sort of puts a little bit of a hurdle between that and a mass audience already, right? Because I think like Bottoms was a pretty funny movie. Was that last year also? So maybe the year before.
Yeah, it was like maybe the year before Drive Away Dolls. And it's like, I really like Bottoms too, but agreed. It's like, there's a certain level barrier of entry for a lot of people who in general would be here for a really broad crime comedy like Drive Away Dolls or a really broad teen comedy like Bottoms. But, you know, the lesbian shit really makes it weird for some people.
Yeah, if it was a heterosexual couple that or like friends that ended up going on this trajectory, like it would feel much more like a traditional Coen Brothers film because it has all those elements. It has sort of like the weird like the hitmen or whatever they are, CJ Wilson and Joey Slotnick, that just play like the unnamed goons who are on this mission to get this thing back. You have Coleman Domingo, also sort of like not really like a named character, but he is like a sub boss within this mafia world. So you have a lot of elements that are somewhat familiar. You even have like kind of a smarter, although played very stupidly, like political thriller in there about what Senator Channel's like unit is, like what it means to the overall safety of the world and stuff. Like the way Coleman Domingo, his character explains, like, do you understand that like this is going to end up on eBay and people are going to be reviewing it and it's going to hurt his family? Like I was like, okay, like this movie, the way he's playing it so straight, like I finally just think I ended up in like the right frame of mind and like the right sort of energy frequency to get this movie like where it's supposed to be. Because like this time around, I was like, I thought it was funny the first time, but like, I thought it was a lot funnier the second time.
I totally agree. I felt like the second and third time I watched this movie, I definitely thought it was funnier. And honestly, I think, you know, along with the whole lesbian being a barrier of entry for a lot of audiences, when you're watching this movie and you finally get the reveal of what was in the suitcase and what they're searching for, that's like a whole nother thing for a lot of people who've been like, okay, there's been a lot of, you know, units in this movie. I didn't anticipate this. Like, I could also, but it's like when you already know that that's what it is, it just makes the search for it and like how serious and all the, like you said, all the goons are taking it, it just makes everything so much funnier.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it so much more the second time, and I don't know that it was like necessarily Margaret that like got me over the hump, but like I think a little bit of the barrier with the accent was like the accent was distracting me from listening to what she was saying. And so I was just like, oh, like, hold on, I have to, like, there, it hits me in the face and then I have to like readjust. And then by that time, I've missed the part of the dialogue that like made me laugh. So that part was a lot funnier this time. And like they play up some really just like strange, not strange moments, but like moments that are different than the rest of the film. Like when they have shower sex with the senator's penis, right? Like it stops and it slows down and becomes like this very romantic moment. Yeah. But it's played in like a very kind of straightforward, but also like, we know this is silly in the context of the story kind of way. And it just works. Like everything worked for me the second time around. So, I mean, I guess my biggest recommendation to people that didn't like it would be like, give it a second chance. Like maybe all the things that were off-putting the first time will, you know, dissolve. But I also felt like the first time around, I was like, okay, well, Coleman Domingo, Bill Camp, Matt Damon, and Pedro Pascal are probably the best actors on paper, like in the film. They're like your best quality people. And I was like, they're not really in it that much. So like selfishly, I was like, I want more Coleman Domingo and Matt Damon and Pedro Pascal in the movie. Like Bill Camp, he shows up, like he's fun, is curly or whatever. But like, it's a very, very small role for him. Like Coleman gets a little bit. Matt Damon's in the background. I don't know who they cast or if they did like some face replacement for young Matt Damon in like the weird flashback sequences. But whoever that was looked a lot like Matt Damon.
No, it really did. Honestly, it is such an interesting choice too, to have like people like Coleman Domingo, Pedro Pascal and Matt Damon in these really small bit roles, and then have most of your focus on, especially kind of like how you mentioned, these two pretty much mostly like, you know, kind of rising stars, but people don't really know them, especially as like leads. So I think it's like, you, to an extent, it is a little bit of like a bait and switch from like Ethan Coen and stuff to get a certain like maybe group of people who wouldn't maybe really be interested in like a lesbian road comedy into the door to an extent. But I really like, just from like a business and a acting perspective, I appreciate Coleman Domingo, Pedro Pascal, and like Matt Damon taking what are essentially bit parts in this movie to an extent to like help these younger actresses. And so I really do like that. And I'd be interested even like on another way to know what you like, what some of those conversations were like on set, like what Margaret Qualley was talking up to Matt Damon about.
Thank you for checking out this preview episode of Bad Movie Futures. We're going to be starting with 2024 films, and the goal is to do at least one of these per month, but there are always new movies in the worst of the year crosshairs. So if the shoe fits, I'm happy to wear it. You can sign up for the members-only tier by clicking on the link in the show notes or going to badmovieswelove.captivate.fm/support. I hope to see you soon.